We all ask questions.
Are eyebrows considered facial hair?
I've always wondered, do vegetarians eat animal crackers?
If a number two pencil's so popular, why is it still number two?
Do bald people get dandruff?
Why are power outages reported on TV? That makes no sense.
But some questions are more meaningful than others.
How do I handle all the stress in my life?
How do I discover God's will for my life and live it out every day?
I have a hard time dealing with disappointment. What does the Bible say I should do?
How can I be the parent my kids need me to be and the one God wants me to be?
What does the Bible say about dealing with difficult people? Because I know some.
Are we actually living in the end times? What does that mean for me?
So we turn to the one who has all the answers. We'll examine some of our biggest questions and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
All right, so excited about some things coming up around here at Crosspoint. Don't forget, as was announced, the party that's going to happen this coming Saturday. It's going to be an awesome time, and there may be many of you that are connecting with our outreach small group today to go out and hand out some invitations, and so they welcome everybody to be a part of that would like to. Small groups are just really vibrant right now at Crosspoint. So excited about this. We just launched small groups the beginning of September, so it's not too late to get involved in a small group. We have an online directory that you can connect with. Know more about that. We actually had a landscaping small group yesterday meet here. In fact, if you see guys walking around kind of sore acting, you know, can barely walk, it's these guys that are our lumberjacks who moved some major wood and did some log splitting. I just want to give it up for you guys today. You did a tremendous job. In case you don't know, our church was kind of hidden by a whole row of very over-mature Bradford pears that the city allowed us to take down. We'll do a replant later on those with some crepe myrtles, and we had some major wood that was needing to be split and moved away, and they just did a phenomenal job on that. I just appreciate you guys, but just some exciting things happening around here, and just would encourage you to jump in and be a part of it. You know, the best way to enjoy a game is not just on the sideline, but jumping in and getting in the game, running the play that God's called for you to run, and just enjoying life together. That's what we're about here. Small groups, we call it as the backbone of our church. And so I want to jump right into our series today that we've entitled, You Asked For It. The reason we are entitling it, You Asked For It, is because you asked for it. Back in Easter, we did a survey, and we asked some questions about what kind of topics would you like to hear. That's really a very biblical approach, because many times the disciples would ask Jesus questions, and they would set the agenda that he would address and speak on. And so we're allowing you to do that, and we are really enjoying this series. It's a lot of fun. We actually began the series by trying to answer the question, are we living in the last days? And the Bible doesn't say very much about that. It doesn't confirm when that day or hour is, but it does tell us what we're supposed to do with the days we have remaining, which is the main thing. And so that message is actually online. You can go to crosspointworshipcenter.com, and you can go to our media section there, and you can download that, listen to that. There's also message notes there that you can download as well and utilize those. Last week, we also did a part two, and last week, the title of it was Help Me, I'm Stressed. It was very enjoyable for me because I basically just preached to myself last week. Hope you guys just love hanging out with me as I preach to myself. And I, like I said, I encourage some people, if they wanted to, that know me real well, they could say, practice what you preach. So it was a lot of fun last week. This week is going to be a great time just with this message today, because we're attempting to deal with the question of how do we deal with difficult people? How are we to deal with difficult people? And so there's actually some people that are on a mission, I believe, in life just to make your life miserable. Have you met those people? You know, they're there. They're just, they're there for you. Now, I don't want us to take this message let me put it this way. I don't want us to take ourselves too seriously on this message, because I think the fact of the matter is we might discover that it's not just the other people sometimes that are the ones that are difficult, but it might be ourselves that are the difficult ones at times. And so I just want you to kind of lean into this message
and let the Lord speak to us. In fact, let me just take a moment right here, and I just pray that God would just give us just his grace just to hear with the ears we need to hear with and just receive what God would have us receive from this message. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have. Lord, we thank you for the relationships that we have. And God, we love people. We're all about people. But at times, even the ones that we love, sometimes things can get very difficult. And sometimes even we ourselves can be guilty of being difficult. But I pray, Father, that you would give us the grace to know how to navigate through these relationships and how to do things as you would have us to do things. Because that's what works. And Father, help us to see through your eyes, eyes of grace and love, God, as we just address this topic, and Lord, let it be life-giving and life-changing, because your word changes everything. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said amen. Amen. All right, so let's get into this message, and let's begin with, there's some message notes there that you can take notes with. We'll have some fill-in-the-blanks. Those are in your worship guide as well, and let's just go through this. So let's begin with 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look what it says here. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. Wow. I mean, just don't get involved with it. That only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, and be patient with, look at this, difficult people. There it is right there. You can underline it. Difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. There's a lot of people are in the devil's trap. There's an enemy of our soul and they're entrapped by him. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And if you look at this scripture, it's very encouraging to me that right here in the middle of scripture, we actually find the words difficult people. And we just want to say, thank you, Lord, that you understand. There are some difficult people in our lives at times. In fact, some of you are probably thinking, they're all in my life. They're everywhere I go. You know, they're in my home. They're at work. Some of them may even show up at church. I don't know. They're just everywhere I look, there's people that are difficult in my life. And you feel like, you know, everywhere you turn, there they are. But we've just got to look at this topic and understand that that is a reality. I heard this little saying that says, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be such glory. But to live below with all these saints we know, this is such a different story. And it's fine we get to heaven, but right now it's difficult. There are difficult people. And the fact, again, is that we may be the difficult one. And so we need to understand, I think where we began with difficult people is understanding, attempting to understand them. Max Lucado said this, some people have been called to be missionaries of misery sent into our world to wreak havoc. Y'all know any of those? Come on, can I get a little laughter here, y'all? Lighten up now, lighten up. Don't take yourself too seriously. It's difficult people, but it's not a difficult topic, all right? So why is this then that we have difficult people? Well, first of all, we live in a fallen world. I mean, we just live in a fallen world, and I've said this over the years, at best, we're all a mess. Even on our best of days, we're still a mess. And there's no one perfect, and we've got this fallen situation that we're in. In Romans chapter 3, it says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. I heard somebody say, if you're looking for a perfect church, and then you find it, and you walk up in there, it's not perfect anymore because you're in it. Follow me? Am I getting any feet? Okay, all right. So no one's perfect, you may be the difficult one. Shh, don't tell. And no finger pointing. We're not going to have any finger pointing here today. All right? There's another reason why I think there's the situation of difficult people, and that is that the devil fights relationships. I mean, think about it. We're all about relationships. We're built for relationships. We hang out together. We do life together. We eat together. We do small group together. We work together. We play together. We get married. We have families. It's all about relationship. And the devil is on an all-out assault to attack relationships. And so it's no really big surprise. And so relationships can be a producer of great joy, but it can also, out of it, there could come great and severe wounds that are very serious. And while we're kind of keeping this lighthearted, that's very much a reality, that oftentimes because of conflict, there's serious, long-lasting wounds because of relationships. But here's what we often do, and that is oftentimes we get caught up in the symptoms. And Jesus never got caught up in the symptoms. He always looked and went for the root cause. He knew the hearts of people, and he dealt with so many different types of people. In fact, there's a long list of different types of people, and I'm going to want to have some fun on the front end of this with you, and then we're going to move pretty rapidly through our notes. But I want to throw up some things for you today, a list of difficult people. Number one, there's the hammer. Do you know any people like this that have an aggressive, harsh, hostile personality? Basically, they're saying, you're wrong, I'm right, end of discussion. Does anybody know anybody like this? Right, okay? Deal with them. I'm seeing the nods. And they just work with intimidation. There's this element of intimidation. They try to intimidate everybody everywhere they go. There's another type of difficult person, and that is the megaphone. The megaphone. They just won't stop talking. They will talk you into submission. They're just going to talk to you and say, I'll do it. Yes, just stop talking. I'm just the megaphone, just over the top, right? And then there's the bubble buster. It's just all bad. Even when it's good, it's bad. You can go up to this person and say, my son had a good game playing soccer today. No, he didn't. He's a terrible athlete. He's just terrible. I had a great day at work today. Yeah, well, FYI, you're getting fired. Whatever good you bring up, pow, they're there to bust your bubble. And so just negative, negative, negative all over the place. Then there's the volcano. The volcano that just is ready to erupt anger and hurt and spew scorching hot language all over the place. Just volcano, just erupts, right? I only erupt when, the coach of my football team just doesn't call the right play. I was going over this and I thought, that was me Friday night. And I thought, it's a good thing it's Friday night because usually it's Saturday night and I don't have a voice for Sunday. And I still haven't fully recovered, all right? Can I just get real right here since we're being honest? We were watching Florida State play Boston College. Some of you could care less, that's not your teams. But I was there and I was in front of the TV. I got up in the floor in front of the TV. That really helps your team when they're way up in Boston win. You know what I'm saying? So I got up at the TV and I was so upset with the coach for calling the wrong play. I started jumping up and down, shaking my fist. Yes, your pastor does it. You do not want to be around me during a Florida State football game. I have to do that in privacy of just my boys. And as I do that, somehow the plug in the back of the TV jostled enough out until it disconnected. It takes 15 solid minutes for that thing to reboot. It was not a good time. My boys were now yelling at their dad after the game, after we won. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anyway, after we won, I gathered my boys around. I said, come close, boys, come close. I said, your father has an anger issue, okay? I need you to pray for me, all right? There's the volcano, all right. And then let's look at this next one. There's the space cadet. They're in their own world, okay? You can try to talk to them about the fact, but they're not going to listen to you because they're not home. They're just... You put them on a team, and it's going to be trouble. They're just in their own world. And then there's the clam. The clam. This one. I'm just going to, it's that silent treatment. And really, they use this for manipulation. I'm going to just press the mute button. I'll get my own way by just clamming up, right? And then there's the nitpicker. Just nitpick everything, right? They find something and they stay on it like a pit bull. Stay on it. Just highly critical, pointing out mistakes, and unreasonably a perfectionist. And then there's this one, the crybaby. Anybody know any crybabies? I mean, I want my way, they're a chronic whiner, complainer, and they do it to get control. They pout to get control until you give in. And then there's the user. The user is a very, very toxic person that actually tries to control people like a puppet on a string. And they use guilt and greed, and they're needy to get what they want. And then there's this final one I want to give you, and it's the garbage collector. The garbage collector, okay? Well, the garbage collector is that person that replays things over and over and over, replays the hurt, replays the wound. What happened in the last relationship. They gather all that up and they haul it into the next conversation, into the next day, into the next month, and they dump it out in that conversation everywhere they go, you know. This is the person that says, I know you don't remember this, but 65 years ago, you took the last piece of toast. And I'm wounded. I mean, you know, and you're like, really? Whoa, you know, dump some stuff up in here and it stinks. You know, just dumping stuff. And so there's different types of people. But here's the deal, guys. We get to choose how we will respond to all of that. The fact is, these difficult people see things very differently, and we need to understand the DNA of the difficult, because they visualize things very, very, very different. And so how they see things oftentimes is skewed. So I've got a couple other little props here I wanted to use today. And so how they see things is very differently. So, you know, you got these that just whatever you say to them, they're going to see it differently. And it's going to get distorted because they're going to magnify things. You could say something good, and it's still going to be received as bad because there's some hurt there. There's some pain there. I heard one person say that our history are the lenses through which we see the world. So everything is seen through that past hurt or that past pain. So it's skewed. They don't see things as it actually is. It's just magnified. Do I look cool, y'all? I look like a hipster. Give me a guitar, somebody. I'm just saying. All right. Whew. Okay. All right. I didn't get too dizzy on that. All right. And then there's another person, and that's this person who has just sees through layers and layers of offense. And when you peel back one layer, there's another layer. And you talk to them, and you think you've resolved the conflict, and they say, no, we're not through. There's something else. Oh, I thought we were through. No, we're not through. We got more to talk about. Every time you peel off one layer, there's another layer because I can't see my notes with that on. Let me just try to take that off. Okay. So, I mean, it's just everything's seen through that. So, and then there's one more, and we may all struggle a little bit with this one, okay? We may all be guilty of this. And it's about me, myself, and I, baby. I mean, it's me, myself, and I. And what do you mean? What about me? What about me? What about my feelings? Hey, what about me? I mean, you know, come on. And so those are a lot of fun. Wear those into the board meeting. You will get fired, but you will have a good time. All right, so anyway, all right. So what do we do with all this? There's different types of people, and they see through a certain lens. Here's the fact of the matter, and that is that we do have choices. We have choices. And let me give you some of these. These are on your notes. Blow through these real quick right here, these three things. And that is that you can choose to curse it. You can choose to curse it. So you can live angry. You can get on their level. You can get down there and fight fire with fire, right? Or you can choose to nurse it. And that means you take it with you and you nurse it. And along with this, that's not another one, but it kind of fits right in here, and that is that it's because you rehearse it. That's how you nurse it, right? So you curse it, you nurse it because you rehearse it. Or you can choose to reverse it. Back it up, right? You can curse it, nurse it by reversing it, or you can reverse it. That was a rap. Y'all didn't recognize that, did you? That's as good as it gets. I'm sorry. Okay. You can curse it, nurse it, or you can reverse it. I'm going to get some comments after church on this. For those of you that for the first time, I don't always get up here and this crazy, but I just thought maybe make this one some fun, all right? So how we respond? You can reverse it, and at the end of the day, you get the right to choose of how you're going to respond. No matter what is coming your direction, you have the ability and the right to choose. And so let's look at how we need to choose. And I want us to look at the biblical response of that. Here's the fact, and that is that relationships are fragile. They cause deep wounds. It causes walk around very unhealthy because of those things. But here's what we must realize. The first point is this. Number one, you must realize that you cannot please everyone. You cannot please. Realize you cannot please everyone. I love what Jesus said even in John chapter 5 when he said, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." So Jesus was one that set our example, and that was his goal, was not to try to please everybody around him, but was to please his Father. And we have to decide that we're going to be a God pleaser. Now, I'm sometimes very guilty of this one because I love people. That's why I pastor. I just love people. And I mean, even when people get on my nerves, I just love people, all right? And it's very easy, if that's you, to fall into a people-pleasing trap. But you've got to come to the reality, and that is that it's more important to be a God pleaser and please God at the end of the day. Because man-pleasing will lead to great confusion. But being a God-pleaser will lead you to freedom. It'll lead you to freedom. Now, what I mean by being a God-pleaser, not a man-pleaser, that is no excuse to be rude. It's no excuse to be crude. It's no excuse to be obnoxious, okay? But it does give you the freedom at the end of the day to say, "I've done all I can do, God, to please you. My heart is clear before you." And so we've got to realize we cannot please everyone. Number two, and that is refuse to play the game. Refuse to play the game. John chapter 2, verse 24. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. There's a difference between loving people and trusting people, right? And so you love people, but you've got to be careful. And Jesus knew people's heart. And so he did not get pulled into manipulation. He did not get pulled into lies. He did not get pulled into drama. He didn't go there, all right? He was about reaching, not just taking care of the symptoms, but the root cause of their issue. And that's where Jesus always ministered. And I'm afraid that sometimes for many of us, we get drawn into the drama. And I've said this before, but one of the places that happens in our day is social media. I mean, you said something about me, I'm going to say something about you. I mean, you posted on me, I'm going to post on you. That's how you believe? Let me tell you how I believe. And we're just all this trash and yang, yang. Let it not be said of us at Crosspoint. Let's not go that disparaging route of just wallowing in trash out. Look, it's okay, but speak something life-giving, right? Speak something positive. Speak something that elevates and encourages people instead of pulling people down. So our natural tendency is to say, all right, you're going to say something, pal, I'm going to get you back. And the hook is then set. Number three, rise above it. Rise above it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can you just picture an eagle, right? I mean, this eagle that just spans his wings, you know, doesn't have to struggle, but just, whoo, there, catches that wind and rises above it all. In the strength of the Lord, God gives us the ability to soar above those difficult people and rise above that, above the clouds of envy and malice and jealousy and hatred and strife, to rise above it. Be an eagle, right? Be an eagle. Someone once said you can't soar with the eagles when you're running with the turkeys, right? Okay, but soar above. Fly with some eagles. And by the way, that's why you need to be in some small groups. Get in some good relationships with some people that'll lift you, right? That'll encourage you. Amen? Look at number four. Never retaliate. Never retaliate. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults. When people insult you, instead, now, and that sometimes is difficult. No, you punch me, I'm going to punch you. You say something to me, I'm going to say something back. But then it goes a step further. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Huh? Pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessings. He will give you the ability, and He will bless you as you follow His word. There's a blessing in it. You know, there's a scripture that also says that that when we obey God, there's a blessing in that. But when we don't obey God, there's a sacrifice. And we sacrifice a blessing when we don't do it God's way. Now, that scripture is very easy to read, but sometimes it's very hard to live out. Can I get a good amen right there? I mean, let's get real. And that's why we can't do it in and of ourselves. We have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to come and to work through us and enable us. I mean, think about it. Jesus exemplified this. You're talking about he wasn't just insulted, he was crucified. He was persecuted for us. And what was his response? Father, don't lay any of this on their account. Put it on me, Lord. Put it on me. I mean, think about it. Jesus, what if Jesus would have retaliated? I mean, they do something to Jesus, and Jesus says, all right, y'all, you're all mice. I mean, Jesus could just do it. You're all mice. Boom. Oh, and all your wives are cats. Some of y'all haven't think about that. Think about it. But no, Jesus said, hey, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And that's what God calls us to do, to rise to that level. Look at number five. Release them. Release them. Just a practical message here, y'all. Release them. You see, the fact of the matter is there's some people you can't fix. In fact, I'll be honest, we can't have time to fix ourselves, right? But we got to release people to God. And don't get involved in the mess, but release it to God. I have learned, even in recent days, people close to me know this is true. Oftentimes, I try to go fix everything. I've got the ability. I got a mouth. I know how to use it. Sometimes I could be guilty of the megaphone. I know y'all were thinking about me when you saw the megaphone thing. But I go around and I think with my mouth, with my words, with whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to fix things. And I have found sometimes I break more things than I fix. But here's what I have discovered. When we pray, and we give it to God, and we commit to God, I want to tell you, God can do in a second what you can't do in a lifetime. And I think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves, thinking, it's up to me, I got to fix this thing. But there's some things that, let me tell you, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes God's Almighty working in people's hearts. You see, because your words go to their ear, but God's word goes into their heart, all right? God has the ability to go, the Bible says, into the king's chamber, where no one else can enter, into the deep recesses of who a person is, in that secret place of their heart, and he can do surgery there, and he can change hearts. And all of our trying, we can't change people, but God can change people. In fact, not only that, God can make them brand new on the inside. In fact, that's what salvation is all about God coming in by his Holy Spirit and taking that heart that's a heart of stone and turning it into a heart of clay, coming to that place that's cold and dry and void and empty, and coming in and filling it with his Holy Spirit, with life and with purpose and with newness of life, amen, and the fullness of life, and even with the promise of eternal life. Come on, right, everybody? That's good stuff, guys. And so the Bible tells us what we are to do. Matthew chapter 5, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute. Pray for them. Right? Sometimes we get upset even if somebody looks at us in a wrong way. I had y'all, when you've been pastoring a while, you hear it all. I'm just saying. I had somebody that left the church. I called them up one time to find out. This is years ago. You don't know them. And they said, I said, well, what happened? Believe it or not, she said, it was the way somebody looked at her. I said, really? She looked at you wrong. Yes, she looked at me wrong. I didn't like the way she looked at me. And I coached her, tried to smooth feathers out, going trying to fix it, like I was just saying, encouraged her to come back. She came back. But come on, really, everybody? I mean, we oftentimes walk around with our feelings out on our sleeve, a chip on our shoulder, waiting for somebody to knock it off. Come on, guys. We gotta rise above that, right? And realize, look, we gotta be larger than that, bigger than that, and we need to pray for people, all right? And when people are offended, pray for them, right? So pray. Pray for those who persecute you. And when you pray for them, here's what happens. Something happens inside of you, and that is that you see them differently. You see them differently when you begin to pray for them. Trust me. You see things totally different. Oftentimes, when somebody does us wrong, the first thing we want to do, we want to talk about them. We want to get somebody else, we want to tell somebody, guess what that person did to me? And we almost demonize them. And then we kind of rally some people around us that are in our corner. We begin to talk about them and how bad they are. But prayer will cause you to recognize that you have received grace, and that person that has done you wrong also deserves grace as well. I heard the story about a man who was went into a place called Popeyes. We have Popeyes around here, chicken place. Went into a place called Popeyes, and he was there to get some chicken. And there was a guy in front of him about 70, 75 years old, and he was just agitated because they were not getting his chicken fast enough, and he was just giving the people trying to behind the counter there a hard time. And just telling him, look, and he looked back at this man that was standing in line and was like, and he was like, man, dude, you know, relax. It's chicken. It's just chicken, you know. Don't you have patience for just chicken? And so, you know, he got the order and he snatched it out of the people's hand that was trying to give it to him. And here these people were just trying to serve the guy. Probably got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, caught a bus to get to work, whatever. You know, I don't know, just however they got there. And it probably got struggles of their own. And here's this guy, I want my chicken. And so he snags the bag out of the person's hand and heads out the door, gets almost over to the door, and he stops. And he turns back around and says, my biscuits? Where are my biscuits? You forgot my biscuits! And then all of a sudden, he grabs his heart, and he's like, oh, you know. And the guy next in line and is telling the story, he's like, oh, dude, man, this guy's going to have a heart attack right here in Popeyes. You know, and of course, before that, he was thinking, he didn't like this guy very much. Just the way he was acting, being difficult, giving these people a hard time that were working there. And then here he is about to have a heart attack, and he gets his biscuits, and he's thinking, man, dude, relax. And he starts to go out the door, and the guy steps up next in line, and the lady said, what do you want? I'm good. Just want chicken. love you all, peace, blessings, just want chicken. So anyway, he got his food, and as he went out the door, he looked, and there in the parking lot, there was this old, really beat-up truck. And in the back of this beat-up truck, this 75 to 80-year-old man had about 8 little grandkids in that truck. He got up in there with them and was trying to feed them, breaking off pieces of biscuits to feed these kids. And this guy knew by looking at him, he wasn't just taking them out for the day. This was a guy who was trying to raise these kids that inherited this and was having a difficult time. And in that moment, he realized, he was quick to judge that guy because he was being difficult, but he realized, you know what? This is a guy who needs some grace. This is a guy who needs the love of God. This is a guy that needs some healing in his life. What I'm saying is, I think sometimes we are so quick to judge people. We don't know their story. We don't know where they've been. We haven't walked in their shoes. We don't know what all they've went through. And I'm just saying, we need to give grace. And so that takes us to the sixth point, and that is this, that we need to live redemptively. We need to live redemptively. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, instead, be kind to each other. I've heard pastors have to say to Christians, just be nice. I mean, we shouldn't have to say that, should we? Be nice, just be nice. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, get this, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When we realize what God has done for us, and really it's the only way we're really going to know how to deal with difficult people, is to realize how much God has forgiven us. You know, it may be that you're going through some difficult places, and there's, if you would be honest and stop and look and allow even the Holy Spirit to enter, to inspect your heart, it may be that in your heart there's a seed of hate, there's a seed of bitterness, there's a seed of just anger that's there that's causing something to rise up in you almost as a cancer of your soul. And I believe what the Lord would say to you is this. That is that you'll never have to forgive anyone more than God has already forgiven you. I'm going to say that to myself. I believe God would say to me, I believe he said to each of us, but God would say to me, Theron, you'll never have to forgive anyone more than I've already forgiven you. And so don't close your arms to others when I've extended my arms to you. Think about it. God's grace comes to us. And so how do we deal with difficult people? We walk in forgiveness and we live in freedom. We walk in forgiveness. In fact, I think walking in forgiveness is something that we should preset ourselves for at the beginning of the day. In fact, we might need to pray a prayer like this. God, there's probably going to be people that are going to offend me today, so ahead of time, I forgive them now. I'm going to give them grace ahead of time, God. I'm forgiving them now. I'm setting my heart for forgiveness. Whatever happens, I'm forgiving them. I'm rising above that. I'm soaring like wings of eagles above that, God. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to follow your example. And when we do that, I'm telling you, it'll set your spirit free. It'll set your spirit free. Sometimes I think we just give people too much power in our lives, and we give God way too less power in our life. How do we give God power in our life? By yielding to him and saying, God, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your grace. Now let me be an agent of your grace. Let me be one that extends that grace to others. Would you just bow your heads with me this morning? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would heal hearts today. Heal those that are hurt, those that are wounded. I pray that you would mend those that are frustrated with a situation, that perhaps relational or otherwise, God, I pray that you would help us to invite your Holy Spirit to come live inside of us and live it out through us, Lord, as we should. Help us, Lord, to do it your way, because your way is the only way that really works, and your way is the only way that sets us free. Today, may we experience your freedom. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. I want to just offer to lead you in a prayer today. If it may be that we're talking about relationships today and you don't even have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you once knew him, but you're not where you need to be with him. You've left him. You've went your own way. You've tried to do it your own way, and it's not working. It may be that you've never been in a committed relationship with the Lord Jesus. Today, I'd like to lead you in a prayer, and I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. You're right where you're seated. If you need to give your life to Jesus today, I just want to help you with a prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to help you with that. And if that's you today, you'd say, Pastor, when you pray, would you count me in that prayer? Today, I need freedom. I need to be set free. I need my heart healed. I need to give my life to Jesus. But that's you. Would you just, right where you sit, would you just slip up a hand? I just want to know who I'm connecting with as I pray. If that's you, just slip up a hand and you put it right back down. My heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Let me lead you in this prayer. If you need to pray this prayer, just simply say this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Come live inside of me and break and make me a brand new person on the inside. Forgive me of my past, of my sins. I want to have a relationship with you. I believe that you died on the cross so that I could experience freedom. I accept by faith the gift of life that's found only in you. I turn from my sins, my past, my ways, to follow you. By faith, I declare that you are my Lord and my Savior today. I accept your love, accept your forgiveness. I receive your healing. Thank you, Jesus. With all my heart, I will follow you.